Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back. So I'm excited to have with us our next presenter, Banc of California. For those of you who are not familiar with the bank, Banc of California has done a phenomenal job over the last few years, growing into a $7 billion asset bank today from less than $1 billion not too long ago. And I think that's happened through a series of acquisitions and timely strategic moves made by the bank in conjunction with strong organic growth, as bank enjoys being in one of the better growth markets in the country. To tell us more about what's in store for 2016, which looks like it's going to be shaped to be an exciting year for the bank, we have with us President and CEO Steve Sugarman. So with that, I'd like to welcome Steve and open the mic to you.
Sure. Well, thank you. Oops. I'm really happy to be back here at the Bank of America conference. This was, is always a highlight of the year coming to these. Last year, when we were here, we had just closed our acquisition of Banco Popular's California franchise and started making a meaningful transformation in our business model. And this year, it's great to come back and update you on the progress we've made over the last year, which has included meaningful progress on asset growth, earnings growth, and probably most importantly, quality of earnings. One of the things that we're most proud of is that when we presented last year, our earnings represented from our commercial bank represented about 25% of our income. Today, with the acquisition of Banco Popular and a lot of the organic growth initiatives we've done, our commercial banking franchise represents 75% of our income, and that's probably one of the things we're most proud of this past year. What I thought I'd do is update you on the Banc of California story and talk to you about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we're achieving kind of the progress that we're achieving. And where it really starts is with our mission. We tend to focus our growth attracting great bankers, great teams, really as a mission-based culture. And Banc of California's mission is pretty clear. We're California's bank, and we seek to empower California's diverse private businesses, entrepreneurs, and communities. So what you see with us is growth in deposit-taking and lending platforms across California. We're focused geographically, and we're focused on those businesses and those entrepreneurs that are the hallmark of California's growth. Just looking at the past 3 years since I became CEO at the bank, we've emerged as California's eighth largest public independent bank. With the recap of Banc of California about 5 years ago, our ranking was up in the 200s. So this is something that's just been a meaningful differentiator for us. Our assets at the end of the third quarter were $7.3 billion, and we currently have over 100 locations, primarily throughout California. And important to us, and I'll talk more about it, is not only kind of the financial returns, but consistent with our mission of California's bank, our relationship with the communities that are driving a lot of the franchise value creation that we have. And that's symbolized with the outstanding rating we recently achieved with the OCC on community reinvestment. And importantly, we're the largest bank in California with an outstanding rating, which is somewhat remarkable, but definitely distinguishes us with our depositor base and the franchise we're building. At the bottom of the page, you can see that our actions have resulted in tremendous value creation from a net income perspective for our shareholders. We've grown net income over 800% over the last 3 years. And you can also see the benefits of scale that we're achieving, where we've grown our assets 300%. So one of the main targets that we look to is our marginal efficiency ratio, or our efficiency ratio on new dollar deployed. And we target achieving a marginal efficiency ratio under 40%. And what you can see is just remarkable progress building this franchise over the last several years. So I talk about empowering California's businesses and entrepreneurs. This is the core of our value proposition. In 2015, we'll originate over $7 billion of loans. As you can see, this is resulting in consistent and meaningful growth in our loan portfolio. And it's also resulting in attracting and retaining and building some of the premier lending businesses and lending teams in California, where we can offer a value proposition to our originators that they know that we have a balance sheet for their loans, that we're consistently in the market, and that we're growing, and they can grow their business with us. You can see here the robust and diverse mix of our businesses and the fact that our businesses are tailored to the California market and the banking needs within California. We also seek to empower California's diverse communities. You can see this in a lot of ways. One of those ways is the volume of activity we do for homeowners in California and affordable housing. We'll originate over $5 billion of home loans this year, and that number is only going up. And that's a great way to continue to expand and deepen our reach throughout the communities. We also take a very proactive stance with community organizations and community leaders. And this is something we've found is a core driver of growing our core deposit franchise. Depositors want to know that the money that they're putting in the bank is going to be lent back to the communities in which they live to strengthen the economic vibrancy of the community. And this is really a distinguishing factor for us, where in 2015, we'll lend a dollar to California for every dollar of deposits we have at the bank. And that helps us grow our deposit franchise. It's also very positive when thinking about regulatory considerations and the ability to continue to grow with the support of the communities we serve. Importantly, our value proposition to private businesses, entrepreneurs, and the communities is resulting in meaningful value creation for our shareholders. They go hand in hand. What's good for California is also good for Bank of California shareholders. And you can see from our earnings per share over the last couple years, we're seeing meaningful acceleration in earnings per share. What you don't see from this chart is that at the end of 2014, we reversed our tax allowance and became a full-paying taxpayer. So on top of the 30-plus percent EPS growth that we're realizing this year, there's also an increased tax burden of about 40%. So year-over-year pre-tax income went from $26 million to right now being on pace to be approximately $100 million. Just fantastic efficiencies from scale. Our return on assets, which we target to get over 1%, has grown from flat to about 0.9%. And our return to our common shareholders is at 13%, which we're very proud puts us in the top echelon of peers. And as important as the acceleration in our earnings, we look to consistency of earnings and delivering consistently upon our guidance to our shareholders on the street. What you can see over the last six quarters is consistent earnings per share, growing pre-tax income, return on assets, getting right around that 1%, and consistent return to tangible common equity at about 13%. This is notwithstanding a rapid pace of growth that causes certain drags on earnings from one-time expenses and increased provisioning, and also in the fourth quarter of 2014, the acquisition of Banco Popular, which created a number of one-time items and charges for the merger-related expenses, which are included in these numbers just on a gross basis. As I mentioned earlier, the story of Banc of California is really about driving this profitability through a core commercial banking franchise. And the work that our team has entered into over the past couple of years is really starting to mature and come to fruition, where the upfront capital expenses and growth initiatives in the commercial banking segment are generating scalable, consistent earnings. Net interest income alone has grown 45% year over year, which creates a more stable, higher multiple business. As you can see, our commercial banking segment now generates 75% of our segment business unit profit, with mortgage banking and financial services making up the rest. What this means is that the stability of our earnings and the future growth of our earnings will be less impacted by mortgage banking volatility or kind of gain on sale type businesses. Importantly, on a quarterly basis, we've seen a $20 million increase each quarterly from our commercial banking segment since we acquired the Banco Popular franchise. This success is being driven by our deposit franchise, which is increasingly large and increasingly valuable. We've seen rapid growth in non-interest-bearing deposits, which are driving a reduced cost of overall deposits. Our non-interest-bearing deposits this past year have been growing at an annualized rate over 100%. We just crossed $1 billion of non-interest-bearing deposits focused in the attractive markets in California. At the same time, over the past year, our cost of deposits have seen consistent and steady declines from 70 basis points this time last year to 49 basis points today. This is a testament to the seasoning and the strengthening of our relationships with our depositors. What's really important about this is that our core deposit growth is being driven primarily by growth in average account size. So in the third quarter, our core deposit growth resulted in de minimis net new accounts, but a growth of 14% on our average deposit size, which means we're winning the war for our depositors' wallet. This is all also enabling us to improve the mix of our deposits by reducing our treasury and brokered deposit balances while continuing to grow the bank. Continuing to focus on our ability to scale this business in an efficient way, on slide 10, we provide you a snapshot of our non-interest expense and productivity gains. We've made meaningful investments in our platform over the past several years in terms of technology, in terms of processes, in terms of risk analytics. And what we're seeing is meaningful returns from those investments, as evidenced by greater efficiency and greater scalability. The average assets per employee has increased by 69% since the fourth quarter of 2013. So as we scale, our employee costs are growing at a much slower pace than our assets and our net interest income. I spoke of our target of a marginal efficiency ratio under 40%, and what you can see from our non-interest expense is that over the past several quarters, we've remained flattish with the pace of growth much below the pace of our asset growth, and meaningful improvements in cost, not just from a slowing the pace of growth, but also in the third quarter, reducing the actual base cost of our non-interest expense. While we grow, we keep a sharp eye on asset quality. And our asset quality has been one of our brightest spots. Over the past year, you've seen our NPAs to total assets decline by 28%. And that was from an already low number of 86 basis points. You've also seen our NPAs to equity decline by 20%. And while we've seen improving asset quality metrics, we've also seen increased ALLL reserves as a percentage of our non-performing loans. We've increased our ALLL provisioning or reserves by 17% over that same period. So our asset quality continues to be strong and stable, and our provisioning continues to be appropriate for the environment, but also looking forward to the long-term economic cycle. As we look forward and think about our growth and think about our next several years, there are a couple things that we believe make Banc of California a very attractive investment and make our opportunity in the market uniquely compelling and provide us opportunities to take advantage of continued growth in assets and, more importantly, in profitability in the coming years. First is our market. We believe in California, and our mission is to be California's bank. California is a large and attractive market. As far as household income, population growth, and business growth, it's one of the most compelling markets in the United States. It enables a bank like ours to have unbound ability to achieve scale as we continue to grow, because the size of the market is the eighth largest world economy. The GDP in California is bigger than the GDP of Russia. And business growth in California is leading the nation. Right now, there are just under 1 million private businesses in California. The unemployment rate's falling with new job creation, and the entrepreneurial activity is probably leading the nation between small to mid-cap private businesses and venture-backed and private equity-backed businesses, where California's businesses have attracted more venture funding than the other 49 states combined. It's against this backdrop of strong economic trends within California, strong business trends in California, and a large and growing population that we believe that California and our focus there is a compelling investment opportunity. And part of the reason why historically California-based banks have traded or sold at a premium to national averages. Today, we believe the California landscape is more compelling than ever. And a lot of that has to do with the trends that we're seeing in the banking sector specifically. California-based deposits are increasingly being used to fund the liquidity requirements of out-of-state SIFI, systemically important banks. This is leaving a void in the California banking market. When you see the acquisition of City National Bank, one of the pillars of California banking, by RBC, and RBC's use of the California deposits to fund their liquidity requirements internationally, when you see One West Bank's acquisition by CIT and CIT's use of the California deposits to fund their specialty finance businesses here in New York, and when you see Union Bank and their broad deposit platform having its headquarters moved to New York so that the liquidity from the California markets can fund the wholesale lending businesses of Union Bank, you see a real rationale and reason why Banc of California is seeing such success building a deposit franchise. You also have the landscape from this last cycle where most of the meaningful regional banks in California either failed or were acquired. The list of banks between $5 and $50 billion that no longer exist in California has left a complete void of California-based banks that Bank of California is uniquely positioned to fill. So the departure of some of the larger stalwarts in the California market, coupled with the elimination of a lot of California's traditional banks through acquisition or failure, has enabled Bank of California to be the leading bank serving California depositors and California's businesses on the lending side. Now, we look at California because it's the land of unbounded opportunity. You have a large population and a scalable geography for banks. And the history of California's banks is that they've been able to build scalable businesses that can emerge into national franchises. And you've seen a number of organic stories that have become national presence. And that's, we believe, in large part to the uniqueness of California, having such a large, diverse, and growing economy that enables banks to build highly efficient, scalable businesses. And when they get their business model right, their opportunity is unbounded. With that, we look forward with optimism to 2016 and have provided the following guidance, which continues to see the strong financial and asset gains that we've seen over the past couple years. We continue to target earnings per share growth well above 15%. This year we're on pace for that number to be above 30%. We continue to see strong trends in earnings per share. Our asset growth, which we expect to finish this year between $8 billion and $8.5 billion, we expect to see grow next year by about 15% or more, which will bring us between $9 and $10 billion. Our return on asset target continues to be to generate returns for our shareholders, 1% of assets and 15% plus on tangible common equity. And importantly, as we continue to scale and we continue to build our businesses, we also continue to see progress in our consolidated efficiency ratio, where we anticipate it coming down about 5% next year from our current target of 70 to 75% down into the 60s with a target of 65 to 70%. So looking forward to 2016, we continue to see very exciting opportunities for us within the markets we serve. So just wrapping up my prepared portion of the remarks, you know, Bank of California, our vision is to be that we are California's bank. We empower and serve California's diverse private businesses, entrepreneurs, and communities. And how we serve our clients is by looking at empowering their dreams, building strong relationships, and a strong belief in the future of California. And with that, that completes my prepared remarks, but I appreciate you you extending the invitation, and any questions that there are, I'm happy to take.
Sure. So I think that was a great summary in terms of what the bank sort of done over the last several years. And I think as we start out, I think it would be helpful in sort of getting more color around the commercial banking strategy as you look out over the next 12 to 24 months. What's driving that growth, particularly on the C&I side, real estate side? And do we already have the talent on board that can drive that growth? Are you actively hiring and recruiting? You talked about market dislocations in your slides.
Yeah. There are three components of our commercial banking strategy. Number one is we continue to see enormous gains from some of the assets we've acquired over time. To give you an example, we closed on the acquisition of the Private Bank of California in mid-2013, the bank had a deposit base just under $700 million. Today, that deposit base has doubled, and our cost of deposits is coming down. So the scale and the platform that we offer is resulting in strong gains on some of the teams and businesses that we've historically acquired. We continue to see the private banking franchise have enormous growth opportunities and are very optimistic about continuing to build that out as part of our commercial bank. The second thing I'd mention is that our growth is primarily driven by originating the same amount of loans next year as we did this year. While we continue to see material loan growth, it's not necessary for our organization's growth. This year we'll do commercial banking loans of $1.5 billion. The average duration is 4 to 5 years in this market environment, which means our loan portfolio can grow another 30 to 40% if we just delivered the same amount of volumes that we did in 2015 for the next 4 years. So the growth of our assets is not something that requires team liftouts, acquisitions, or kind of higher risk strategies. What it requires is our lending teams continuing to deliver the value proposition they are delivering and just do it over a full cycle, because that's how you get the benefit of the scale you've already built. The third thing, though, that I do want to mention is you asked about the opportunity to attract good teams and good people. And really, when you're building a bank, there's never a surplus of good teams and good people. The quality of our value proposition and our success is founded in the quality of our people. What I think you'll see in the market is with a lot of these larger bank M&A transactions is causing widespread dislocation, not only with the highest quality relationship managers, but a lot of their clients who are just a little bit tepid and nervous about the impact on them and their business. So I think you will see meaningful realignment of a lot of the larger and highest quality relationship teams and clients from some of the banks that have recently gone through acquisitions of themselves.
It's helpful, and I think you touched upon hiring and sort of you obviously made very clear your efficiency goals for next year, but I guess as we think a little bit longer and your target of getting to a 40% efficiency ratio, what needs to happen from a balance sheet standpoint and how much time, how should investors think about when we get there?
Yeah, if we generate marginal efficiency ratio 40% or less, our return on assets is highly accretive to our shareholders. So what we think about when we think about growth is making sure every new dollar of growth is accretive to all the existing dollars that our shareholders have. So as long as our return on average tangible common equity and return on average assets is going to go up and the growth will be accretive to that, we'll continue to push it pretty hard. As far as the timing, the efficiency ratio is as much a function of the mix of our business as it is a function of profitability. To give you a sense, the lending platforms we've built are generating high-quality relationships and what we believe to be franchise-enhancing value. It would be much more efficient to be in just wholesale lending relationships or to be purely a security deploying bank. Our view is that with our mission of being California's bank, there's a franchise value to be built and a multiple expansion to achieve by having strong relationships throughout the California business and entrepreneurial community, by lending to them. And while those businesses do have an enhanced efficiency aspect, as long as we can continue to grow our return on tangible common equity and get that over the 15% mark, I think that our investors are going to be really pleased long-term with the value creation that they'll see.
Fair. And you touched upon sort of the business mix, and you had a slide where commercial banking is now 75% of the... Is the mix kind of where you want it to be, or do we see the bar for commercial banking going higher, or How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that what's really, I think, the source of the most pride on that slide of business mix is that every one of our business segments actually grew over the past year. So mortgage banking is actually more profitable this year than it was last year. And at the same time, it's gone from 75% of our earnings to 25% or less. So it's not about exiting businesses, it's about growth. But what we're seeing is that the momentum and the scalability and the opportunity for growth in just the core commercial banking segment is outpacing the other segments. The macro backdrop is better there, so more resources are going into that segment. And you'll see on a relative basis, we'll continue to focus our growth on the commercial bank, not to the detriment of the other segments, but to the overall improvement of the relative earnings across our platform.
That's fair. I guess just taking a step back, obviously, you mentioned how important being in California and how beneficial it has been to banks' growth. As you think about, I think there have been concerns around could there be a slowdown in the tech sector and what that means for the local economies. There's been some concern around real estate prices, which have shot up, and what tied to the tech and some of the investment dollars that have flowed because of zero interest rates, what all of that could mean for. How do you think about that? Because you're obviously closely watching that on a day-to-day basis.
You know, California is a large and diverse economy. So it's hard to speak about all the sectors and all the housing characteristics just across California uniformly. What's great about being in such a large and growing state is that there are and there continue to be tremendous opportunities. With the population growth that we're seeing, the multifamily sector continues to be very strong. In the residential market, it's not all one flavor of residence. If you look at our loans, we're able to be in the most attractive markets and with some of the highest quality borrowers. Our average FICO scores, LTVs, are really amongst the best in the industry. If you look at business creation, you're not tied to one sector. Just driving down from Los Angeles down to San Diego, you go through a strong entertainment sector, which we're a proud player in through our private bank. You have a lot of the banking services, which are determined by fiduciaries and really deposit-driven. You come down to aerospace as you go to LAX, and you have a strong aerospace sector. You keep going south, and you get into biotech. You get into computer software. And then you come all the way down to San Diego, and you have a whole other submarket of military driven and other aspects of biotech. So that's just a two-hour drive on the southern part of California. So you've got a pretty diverse set of lending opportunities. You also have granularity in the real estate market, where we can make, you know, $5 million commercial real estate loans. And we can build a granular portfolio that takes some of the idiosyncratic risk out of our credits. Because California is an investor-based market, we can serve our core clients, the entrepreneurs, by doing these real estate-based loans that they need for their multifamily income-producing properties and small businesses. And it's a core product for them. In a lot of other markets, you really can't build such a diverse product base. So we're very cognizant of some of the lessons that are to be learned from the last cycle, and some of the lessons mostly on lending on asset value and then lending all of the asset value and kind of going down market in terms of lending. With where we are right now in the cycle, we're not seeing those trends. We track very closely our LTVs. You know, on things like single family, we're seeing LTVs below 70 and FICOs above 700. Those are really strong characteristics, and our portfolio has been virtually unblemished. When you're looking at multifamily, what we have been doing, and it's been a sign of our success, is going from some of the less institutional type lending, kind of story loans or loans in tertiary markets and things that a bank like ours 3 years ago would have been in. And right now our yields and our spreads have compressed a little bit, but we're more profitable because we're getting A properties in A areas, we're pricing them right, and we're those markets that we're in, we're not trying to squeeze the last couple of basis points out from a credit side and take story loans and things like this. Instead, we're trying to build a scalable platform where you have to be in the market at the right price and enable the platform to scale. And the durations on those loans tend to be longer, which helps your efficiency ratio over time.
I guess I'd like to take a moment, and we have one audience polling question. If we can have it on the screen, please. For those on the webcast, I'm going to read it. What do you think will be the biggest catalyst for mid-cap bank stocks in 2016? Stronger loan growth, higher interest rates, cost rationalization, accelerating capital return, or a pickup in M&A activity? All right. So I guess 43%, which is the first choice of our audience, was stronger loan growth, followed by 36% higher interest rates, and 21% selecting a pickup in M&A activity. I think we've touched a lot about loan growth and sort of your outlook there. I'd love to get your thoughts in terms of if the Fed does move in December, what does that mean for your margin? Does it have a meaningful impact, just a 25 basis point hike? And if we really don't get much of a movement next year, what does that mean for sort of your spread revenue and margin?
Yeah, it's a great question. And higher interest rates is something that a lot of banks are rooting for. I think the characterization, the slope of the curve, is going to be really important. As the near end of the curve gets raised over the next year or so, I think that'll be very positive for a lot of banks. It'll be positive for us because I don't think it'll flow through immediately into the deposit pricing for core deposit franchises. However, as you get into the floating rate loans and some of the securities portfolio, you'll see some pretty positive benefits. The long end of the curve is kind of a harder question. A lot of folks kind of are forecasting a flattening of the curve, in which case it's hard to borrow short and long. It's harder to do a lot of things. The long end of the curve, I think, is really poses a lot of uncertainty for banks. So while the initial profitability pickup from the first 25 or 50 basis points on the short end, I think, will be a nice catalyst for mid-cap banks, you know, after that, you'll start seeing, in our view, the beta on deposit pricing maybe ratchet up a little bit. And without the long end of the curve also coming up where you're seeing long-term growth expectations in a positive light, it's hard to see interest rates for us being a meaningful long-term catalyst until the long end of the curve also comes up. Importantly, you'll start to see the value of good deposit franchises, and you'll start to see the value of the quality of earnings mix, because businesses that are relying too much on mortgage banking, and it's one of the reasons why we've committed so much resources to no longer be in that category, but also relying on more wholesale funding relationships and deposits with higher betas, will likely see less benefit than kind of just core deposit franchises that tend to be marked with a value proposition, a mission, a unique reason to exist in the communities they're in, as opposed to just kind of attracting deposits from the lowest cost source.
Got it. I guess just to the last point in terms of M&A, I'd like to tie to that. You've been a frequent issuer of capital and coming as sort of you've supported your growth. How should investors think about in terms of as you look out over the next couple of years, one, Do we have enough capital to sustain sort of your outlook on organic growth? And how important is M&A to your growth strategy in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I'm in agreement, I think, with the respondents here, where it's clear that organic loan and deposit growth is more value-creating today than M&A, generally at the prices that M&A deals are getting done. So in large part for us, the priority is on the organic loan and deposit growth. Now, there are strategic reasons and geographic reasons to do M&A, and there are M&A deals that can continue to work, but the highest value growth comes from organic loan and deposit growth. And so M&A, to the extent that it's a catalyst for these banks, it's probably more of a catalyst for banks that see less opportunity on their organic growth. But for any bank, capital is an important consideration to make sure that you get the power of compounding as you continue to grow and that your earnings per share continue to compound. From our standpoint, it's just important to look at the cost of capital with the return to tangible common equity and make sure that any transaction we do is going to be highly accretive to the tangible common equity. So we faced this a little bit last year when we bought Banco Popular. We raised capital as part of that, and frankly, we would have valued our company more highly than the markets would at that time. But the key thing for us, and it's proven to be the right thing for our shareholders, is that if you can do a deal that is accretive in the near term and the long term, when taking into consideration the cost of capital, it's something you have to consider. Importantly, as our organic and just kind of existing profitability continues to grow, the need for capital to fund growth becomes more and more of a de minimis issue. This year, we'll make $100 million or so pre-tax. Next year, with the acceleration of earnings on our platform, assuming credit and, economic conditions stay moderate, our earnings will continue to accelerate dramatically, which funds the loan growth and the deposit growth in large part. Also, the capital markets continues to be very positive from a senior security debt and preferred, which enables a bank like ours to continue to fund its growth without dilution directly to the common. Now, so on the M&A side, I think that our focus on M&A, I think we've done 8 or 9 deals in the last 3 years. I think our focus probably gives way at some of the valuations we're seeing for just ordinary, regular way M&A with banks to our organic growth, and it will be more opportunistic. And with capital, you'd look at a deal on an M&A basis or disproportionate growth if the opportunity is there, and you just want to make sure that it's going to be accretive to your common shareholders and enable you to continue to compound their interest.
All right. I think with that, we've run out of time, so I'd like to thank you very much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.